welcome to episode 10 of the Group Leader Podcast. A couple of things to mention before we jump into today's episode. First, we're still working to clean up everything from post-group link, trying to get people connected to new groups that formed and into some of your groups that were ongoing and existing. So if you hear from one of us, please respond to us. Let us know, you know, if things worked out, if a person we were trying to place with your group was able to make it, or if you haven't heard anything from them. Really, just the more information that Kathy and myself have about the people that we're trying to get into groups, the better. It would just really help if you would kind of stay in contact with us, be on the lookout for any communication from us, and just keep us up to date. Second thing I want to mention is that I brought up us all going through the same study at the same time in my email last week. I mentioned that in a few weeks we're going to be starting a series at the church called Through the Bible in 7 Weeks. And the idea is, what do you think? That's right, going through the Bible in 7 weeks. And that means the whole thing. We're going to try and hit all 66 books during the messages over that 7 week period. Now, one of the things we're going to be doing is passing out a booklet the very first day of the series that has a reading plan in it. And so we're going to try and get the whole church reading through the same passages during the same week. And I would love for you guys to be a part of this, not only in your personal lives, but in your groups as well. So another thing the church is trying to do is to get as many ministries as we can kind of involved in this series, even from Met Kids to the Institute and everybody else. So for us, that means in terms of groups, right? And what I'm going to be doing is developing some discussion guides based around those passages from the reading plan. And I'll be getting that out to you guys somehow before the series starts up. So the first week of the Through the Bible in 7 Weeks series is going to be October 7th and 8th. So that means that like Monday, October the 9th and following would be kind of the weeks that you are doing this study. But I do want to encourage you to kind of hit pause on whatever you might have planned for that and to go through this together, because I think that there's going to be some, I think God's going to do some special things through this series. At least that's what I'm praying for, to really stoke a fire and a hunger for the Word of God in our church. And since you guys are in such an influential role within the church, I really want you guys to get your groups just encouraged to be a part of this. All right, that's it for just some announcements this week. Let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. This one's called The Making of a Christ-Centered Leader. Now, one of the other things I mentioned in my previous email to you guys is that I'm going to walk us through the book of 2 Timothy on the podcast for the next several weeks. And that's really just because I sense God wanting me to take us all through this book of 2 Timothy. I mean, this podcast is designed for several things, but primarily it's for equipping you as a group leader. Now, equipping someone implies that there's something that you're striving for. There's something that you hope to become. And I fear I may never have really made it clear just what you are striving for or what kind of leader I'm hoping you'll become. And in thinking through what a healthy leader would look like or what picture we are all striving for, I just continually find myself drawn to the book of 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy is one of three letters in the New Testament which were written by the Apostle Paul to young leaders in the church. Now, these three letters are traditionally called the pastoral epistles. Epistles is just a fancy word for letters because they are what appear to be Paul's wisdom for leading God's people. And we usually think of that in pastoral terms. And indeed, the recipients of these letters were pastors themselves. And so while these letters, or books as we call them today, are certainly for pastors, they also give us a picture of healthy leadership in the church, which would include you and the role you play as a group leader. Now, as you read through 2 Timothy, as we go through this study together, that picture of a healthy group leader, of healthy leadership within the church, it starts to become clear. And this book is really about the making of a Christ-centered leader. Okay, it's the Apostle Paul telling Timothy what he has to do, what he needs to be made of, how he needs to rely on God in order to become a Christ-centered leader. And so this book is going to tell us what that looks like. It's going to tell us what we must do to get there and what it will be like as we make progress towards that goal. But Paul does make it clear for Timothy that his goal for him is to become a Christ-centered leader. Now, we're going to get to the text of 2 Timothy starting next week. But before we get there, it's really going to be helpful for you to have some context that will help bring Paul's letter into sharper focus for you. So 2 Timothy, as you might have guessed, is Paul's second letter to a guy named Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young pastor who had been trained by Paul for several years at the time of the writing of 2 Timothy. Now, what sets this book apart from Paul's other writings is that it was written in the very last days of his life. So in this book, you find an aging Apostle Paul writing in chains, and he's in the bowels of this dark and dank dungeon. He's cold and alone, save for just one person that's there with him at sometimes, which is Luke. you know, the author of the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. But Luke probably wasn't even allowed to be by his side for very much of the time. His days as a traveling apostle are certainly over at this point. Later in the letter, Paul can say of his life, "I have finished the race." And so knowing the end is near, Paul sets his sights on making provisions for the passing on of the faith to the next generation. And this is why he writes to Timothy, who he calls his most trusted worker and whom Paul refers to as his beloved child. Now, with just that brief introduction in mind, let me make three more kind of in-depth observations about 2 Timothy before getting to the text next week. The first observation is that Paul was a prisoner in Rome. Now, I mentioned a minute ago that Paul was a prisoner and he was in this dark dungeon. And that dungeon was in Rome. And if tradition is correct, then he was being held in this prison called the Mamertine prison, which one commentator described this way. He described it as a dismal underground dungeon with a hole in the ceiling for light and air. Okay, so that's where Paul's at. He's in literally a deep, dark, cold, dank dungeon, and he looks up and there's just one circle, you know, one little hole up above him where light and air are able to come in. But wherever it was, Paul tells us that his friend Onesiphorus could only find him after an earnest and painstaking search. And so again, this wasn't, you know, walk down the street to the local prison. It was some kind of deep, dark hole somewhere that his friend could barely find after searching for it. Paul was certainly in chains at this time, as he himself attests to in the letter of 2 Timothy. He was suffering from loneliness and boredom from this damp and cold imprisonment. And it seems Paul had already received a court hearing and was just awaiting a full trial, which he expected to end in his execution. Now, this was not the first imprisonment for Paul, and not even his first in Rome, but something was different this time. See, this time he would endure great hardship, and this time there would be no escape. Now, this was around the year 64 AD, when persecution of Christians was really in full swing under the Roman Emperor Nero, who would prove to be, over the years, one of the faith's most fierce adversaries. And so, sensing his fate, Paul penned his letter to Timothy, calling him to guard the faith, to ensure its passing on. And it's a very personal letter, as you'll see. But Paul would also have viewed it as a sort of a last will and testament to the church, just knowing that it would be received and read aloud to the various churches. So now that you have a sense of kind of what Paul's life and his motives for writing the letter were, let's shift our focus now to Timothy. The second observation we need to make about the book of 2 Timothy is that Timothy was being thrust into a position of Christian leadership that was far beyond his natural capacity. So Timothy was obviously the intended recipient of this letter, since Paul addressed it to him in the letter's opening. Timothy had been Paul's faithful companion for more than 15 years at the time of this letter's writing. He had been recruited by Paul when the apostle was in Lystra, and this young recruit proved to be loyal, sticking with Paul through some of his harshest missionary journeys. And Paul's affection for his young leader is evident in his references to Timothy throughout the different letters Paul writes in the New Testament. Paul called Timothy his beloved and faithful child in the Lord, his fellow worker, and his brother in God's co-worker. And because of his close relationship with Timothy, it's not surprising that after his first imprisonment, Paul left Timothy in charge of the church at Ephesus. And this fledgling pastor's responsibilities were numerous after he was left in charge. He was to refute the heretics that were stirring up trouble in the church. He was to order the church's worship, to select and train its elders, to establish a steady ministry to the church's widows, to command and teach the faith as it was handed down by the apostles, and to do all of that while maintaining a Christ-like character and being an example to the people around him. And if that wasn't enough, now Timothy's trusted mentor was facing martyrdom. And so humanly speaking, Timothy was hopelessly unfit for these weighty responsibilities of leadership in the church. And there are at least three reasons why this is the case. First, Timothy was relatively young for leadership in his day. Paul's first letter to Timothy encouraged him not to let anyone despise him for his youth. And though we don't know for sure how old Timothy was at this time, based on context and what we know of his culture back then, it would be safe to assume that he was in his early 30s. And so having just turned 30 this year, I can say with certainty that Timothy was inheriting an enormous amount of responsibility for a man of his age. Well, the second reason why Timothy was humanly unfit for these newfound responsibilities is that he was always sick. So for some reason, he was just prone to sickness. So much so that Paul, again in his first letter to Timothy, mentioned his frequent ailments, and he told him to stop drinking water only, and instead to start mixing some wine in with his diet. Now he was saying that because wine in those days was helpful to kind of control some stomach infections. Now the third reason Timothy was unfit for the task at hand is that he was just timid by nature. And if you read through the biblical material on Timothy, you'll find he seems to have been kind of naturally shy or timid. He would almost certainly be called an introvert by today's standards. And Paul knew Timothy's weaknesses, which is why you'll see that Paul continues to exhort him to take courage and to endure suffering throughout the book of 2 Timothy. And so here's Timothy, young and in over his head, always fighting a cold and timid to a fault, finding himself in charge of a gospel to proclaim and a group of people to watch over. And like Moses and Jeremiah before him and a bunch of others in the Bible, he was reluctant to accept these responsibilities at first. Does that sound familiar to you? I mean, maybe you find yourself leading a group for the very first time, or you found yourself in leadership capacities somehow within the church lately, and you feel out of your league and in over your head. And maybe you're young in age, or maybe even in the faith. You're shy and timid, and yet you find yourself called to lead God's people. Well, you'll find that this letter is full of treasures for all the Timothys out there. Because Paul's advice is not to suck it up and try harder, it's to lean further into the gospel and to draw from its power. So yes, Timothy was unfit for the task he was called to do in human terms, but he had something more to draw from living inside of him. And it's the same thing you and I have to draw from as well. And that is the Spirit of the living God. All right, our third and final observation about the book of 2 Timothy is that Paul's preoccupation in writing this letter is passing on the gospel. Okay, that's Paul's primary concern. For 30 years or so, Paul preached the good news. He planted churches, he defended the truth and encouraged the saints. His work was to bring the gospel to the nations. I mean, he had been commissioned by Christ himself to do that. And he had succeeded, which is why Paul could write, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." See, all that awaited him now was the crown of righteousness, which he would soon be receiving after his execution. But what about the gospel he lived for and would soon die for? Who would guard it? Who would teach it? Who was going to pass it on? I mean, Nero was trying his best at this time to extinguish the faith and to exterminate all of its followers. So who was going to take up that mantle of preaching and teaching and exhorting the church to press forward the mission of Christ? Well, Timothy and others like him, which is why Paul reminded Timothy that the precious gospel was now committed to him, that it was now his turn to assume responsibility for it. Timothy was charged with protecting and teaching and spreading this gospel to the next generation in the corner of the world that he found himself in. Timothy was the recipient of this letter and the subject of its commands, but ultimately, Paul wanted to pass on the gospel of Jesus, and that is why he wrote this letter. Of this gospel, Paul wrote, "For I delivered to you as of first importance, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." The gospel, the good news of Jesus, was Paul's primary concern, and he urges Timothy to make it his as well. Throughout our study of 2 Timothy, you'll find yourself being urged to make it your primary concern too. Questions. Number one, do you identify with Timothy? Do you feel in over your head and called to lead beyond your capacity? Number two, how could it be a good thing that you feel unfit for the leadership role you find yourself in? What might your weaknesses reveal? Where do they cause you to look for help? Number three, to know how God wants to use you, you must discover your strengths and your weaknesses. Your strengths hint at where God wants to use you, but your weaknesses reveal how he wants to use you. What are your worldly weaknesses? Are you not that smart? Are you uncomfortable around people? Slow to understand? Awkward, maybe? Do you have a speech impediment or a handicap? What are those things? And how might God want to work through your weaknesses? Number four, how do Paul's leadership concerns differ from yours? Number five, Paul told the Corinthian church that he delivered to them as of first importance the gospel of Jesus. If you were to ask your group or other people that you lead what they think is your primary concern, what you are most interested in passing on to them, what would they say? All right, guys, thank you for listening to the Group Leader Podcast today. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.